Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings on VOA Television. Today, we are joined by a rock superstar who, with his band Loverboy, have been together since the 1970s, and they're still going strong to this very day. In fact, Mike Reno, who's our guest today, is the voice behind the band Loverboy. We'd like to welcome Mike to the program. Nice to have you, Mike Reno.
Thank you very much, Larry. Good to be here. And superstar is a little much, I'm afraid.
No, absolutely. It's a title that's well-earned. With all the Juno Awards, I believe you won at least six or probably more than that. In Canada, you're in Canadians, the Music Hall of Fame. You know, all the accomplishments you guys have had, the shows you've done around the world, I think superstar is well-deserved.
Thanks, Larry.
Now, I wanted to ask you something, you know, because growing up, you know, and I don't want to date myself, but I remember playing your music in the 1980s when I was actually working in Detroit radio, and right. You broke away from the band for just a bit to record a song with Ann Wilson of Heart, Almost Paradise, and that was a love song, which was unlike Loverboy. Is that why you did that? Is that you wanted to separate yourself from the Loverboy sound?
Not necessarily. I was offered to sing the song, and I thought to myself, if this movie is terrible and nobody will see it, if this movie is great, everybody will see it. So to me, it was a win-win situation. And they gave me the right to choose anybody I wanted. So I picked Ann Wilson the first second I heard about it. One of the best singers in the rock and roll world. And it was fun. It was just a fun side project. It just took a day. It wasn't like, you know, a big deal. We were both on tour at the time. Heart was on tour and Loverboy was on tour. And we met in Chicago one wintry night. And Keith Olsen, the producer, had flown out from Los Angeles with the bed track. We just basically got to know each other for a few minutes, then stood up and sang it one time in the same microphone, face to face. It was one of those magic moments.
What has been the secret to Loverboy's staying together for how many decades now? Five or so decades? What's been the secret to keeping the band together?
Well, the band, it's a good band. I mean, we all respect each other's talents. I love singing, you know, in front of these guys. They just make it easy. And they're all good guys. We're all friends. And we work really hard at keeping it together. We don't want to dilute it, you know, any more than necessary to, you know, it's just, that's what we are. That's the sound of this group, is really all us guys together. That's the sound.
Well, 9 albums, 3 greatest hits albums, and I don't know how many compilation albums you've appeared on, and you guys have played at the Olympics. You recorded an Olympic theme song as well. And now we've got the Olympics coming up soon. How does that feel to you, having been such an important part of the Olympics? Now the Olympics are coming up.
I remember that was the Olympics down in Los Angeles that year. You know, some of this stuff is almost hard to remember. That's how long ago it was, Larry. We had... We were always working, so sometimes we just broke away to cut a track and kind of send it off. And we didn't attend the Olympics or anything. It was just, you know, it was just something we did along with a lot of other rock bands at the time. And it was a great experience and all, but it was a long time ago. I'm trying to remember which Olympics. I think it was 1984 or something, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a long time ago for me.
it's a long time ago for many people, but you know, you still look young, you feel young, you're only as young as you feel or as old as you feel. And obviously you're still rocking, which is great. And I know that you've worked with many, many people over the years and written songs with folks like Bon Jovi and many other people you've collaborated with. And so the last album you guys put out, which was put out 7 years ago, Unfinished Business. So tell me what unfinished business there possibly could be for the band Loverboy. You've accomplished just about everything you set out to.
Well, you know what happens when you're cutting a record? A lot of times you write and record, or partially record, maybe 20, 25 songs. And in the early days, you'd usually put 8 or 9 songs on an album, because that's really all vinyl would take. And tape was a little bit risky too. You had to put X amount on it, not too much, not too little. And then again, for compact disc CDs, you could put only, I think, 72 minutes of music maximum. So a lot of songs got pushed off to the wayside, but they were really good songs. And at one point, Paul and I and the guys just figured, why don't we just put some of those songs back together again? And then we found some tracks that weren't even really recorded. They were just recorded on like on a ghetto blaster kind of thing. You know, it's like just in rehearsal hall. And they actually sounded so good that we didn't even want to try to redo it. And so we threw a few things together that we thought fans would enjoy, you know, stuff that wasn't polished, stuff that wasn't produced, and some stuff that was. And we finished some of it, and then some of it we left in its complete raw form just to show people what it was like, you know, when you write songs, for instance. Mm-hmm.
And you have a new song out now, which is the first new music you put out in, as I say, 7 years. Is there an album in the works? Is there a new album plan?
Well, there's always a music plan for us. We're always doing something. In the years of COVID, which are really, you know, starting to get, I wish it was over, I'm sure. Yes. Everybody. We had to kind of do this, we've done a couple of singles, and what we do is we do a single and we just release it on our website just for everybody to enjoy. Loverboyband.com has a lot of stuff you can enjoy. Just have fun with it. It doesn't cost you anything. Just enjoy it. So what we did with this song was we had to actually ship the parts around via internet, which way a lot of people are doing it right now. So we would record, Paul would record a basic track. We would send it. You know, he actually came over to my place. So him and I worked on the vocals. Then we sent it off to Doug at his place, and he worked on all the keyboards and sent it back. And then we sent it to North Carolina, and our drummer, Matt, he did his bit. And then we sent it to Winnipeg, and our bass player was in Winnipeg. He put his stuff on it, and it all went back to Paul. And then Paul mixed it, and it sounded really, he put on his harmonies and guitars. And it was the first time we've ever done something like that. So it was kind of an experiment. And in lieu of the COVID, we actually clipped together a video as well of us with performance videos from the last, I'm going to say 40 years. There's bits and pieces when we're all about 25 years old. And there's bits and pieces when, you know, a present, or at least, you know, maybe 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how it all came about, Larry. And it was kind of a labor of love for our fans.
And the new track is Release. I believe it's called Release.
And that's kind of how we felt. We need a release right now. You know what I'm saying?
Loverboy here on Border Crossings, and we have one half of the two people that were responsible for Loverboy, Paul Dean, and the man I'm talking to today, who is Mike Reno. And so I understand that Paul discovered the name Loverboy in a dream.
It's funny you should know that. What it was is we were going to start a band, but we didn't really have a name or anything. And it was just, at the time, it was just Paul and I, and Doug was in the program, but he was working, our keyboard player, he was working with another band, but he said, whenever you guys get it together, I'm available for you. So, you know, we spent some time hanging out after writing songs and recording little demos and stuff, just hanging out, maybe watching a movie night kind of thing. And I kind of thought it was interesting to see the girlfriends reading Cosmopolitan, Vanity Fair, and all that kind of stuff. And I said, we should maybe think about calling ourselves Loverboy, or Coverboy rather. And then Loverboy just, Coverboy was basically, you know, play on words from what the girls were reading. They're reading the Cover Girls. I thought maybe Coverboy would be kind of cute.
Yeah.
Spend a little money on some clothes and, you know, look nice, the average Doobie Brother type band. You know, I'm just, you know, just giving it a shot. And then Paul went home woke up the next morning and called me, said, I just had a dream about it. We called our band Loverboy. So, yeah. And I just went, dude, if we do that, we're going to get the crap kicked out of us, man. But it turned out okay. You know, all these years. It's been a
good ride. I would say it turned out okay, better than okay. And you guys have been enjoying, you know, tremendous success. And you mentioned the clothes and wearing, you guys also known for wearing red leather pants.
Oh, I mean, boy. Red leather pants. You know what it was? To be honest with you, Larry, our manager's press secretary, her husband had a leather shop just down the street from the office. And it was very popular, a very good leather shop. And we could have never afforded anything out of this shop. But when she said, my husband said, you can go down and grab anything you want and we'll just put it on the bill. And when you guys start making a bit of money, we'll just pay the bill. And I thought, wow, that's pretty good. So all the guys in the band went down and we all grabbed about 3 or 4 pairs of pants each, and some vests and some leather jackets. We just really went to town on this leather shop. And consequently, everybody in the band had leather, but it's tough wearing leather. You're on a stage and you're sweating. You know, those pants don't last more than 1 or 2 shows.
Right. Have you ever had pants tear on you when you're on the stage?
I have. I've had a few incidences over the years where only the drummer got the full show, Larry.
The full Monty. That's great. Mike Reno is our guest now. Of course, you know, the red leather pants, also synonymous with the Romantics, who were out right around the same time. But those guys on their album had always red pants on. So,
okay, that's cool. You know what? I know the guys from I know Wally and the boys from the Olympics or from the Romantics. And it's just something that basically happened with regards to the album cover. That is, when we did videos, we put on our whatever clothes we had with us. And sometimes Paul wore them, I wore them. Everybody kind of switched stuff, not the same pants, but they wore their own. And then all of a sudden, when it came time to do an album, the art director for the project, he heard me yell Get Lucky in one of the songs. And he said, that would be a great title for an album. And then he came up with this concept with the red leather pants. And you know, and with the you know, the hand behind the pants, you know.
Right.
And I thought, you know, that's brilliant. So it's all a bit of luck. I got to be honest with you, anything in the entertainment business, there's a lot of effort, a lot of hard work, and a lot of luck. I admit that. You got to have a lot of luck up there. The stars got to be aligned just right, and everything has to happen perfect.
And it's timing, too. I mean, you know, if you're in there at the right time, and you guys have been in the business so long, and you're still in the business, which is wonderful. It's a testament to how, you know, much your music has evolved. Your fans have grown up with you. You probably have grandchildren and, you know, other people coming out to the shows of the different generations of fans you've had. But you also, as a writer and a producer and people who recorded music, you've got to experience the different changes in technology, to where you mentioned Unfinished Business was done with this guy doing it there and this guy doing it there. You did it back in one studio together, and a lot of times it had to be done in 1 take or 2 takes because the budget wouldn't allow for 20 takes of a song. So you were there at the beginning.
That's true. One thing that Loverboy was always really good at is just we always went in the studio. Up until recently, we would go into the studio, all 5 of us, with the producer and an engineer behind the scenes, and we would just play songs. And that's kind of the strong point about the band. That's why we've always been a good band live, because we just play the songs and you know, push the red record button and let's just do it. And a lot of bands need a lot of overdubbing and redoing. We never really needed a lot of that, which is kind of neat. And our producer, Bruce Fairburn at the time, he understood that. So he just basically let us do our own thing. And luckily we had Bob Rock turning the knobs and making it sound great. And you know what? Even Bob Rock has turned into this mega producer. Mike Fraser, who was the second in command, who would put the rolls of tapes on and he'd get the coffee and he'd set up the microphones. He's done 6 AC/DC albums as producer and mixer. You know what I mean? Like this whole crew of people from the Vancouver area in the early 80s and late 70s, it was just a magic time for us. And consequently, a lot of groups like Bon Jovi, Bad English, Motley Crue, Aerosmith, they all came to Little Mountain Sound in Vancouver to record because they just loved the sound of that studio. So, you know, there's been a lot of interesting things happen to us.
And you talked about playing live. What's your favorite song to sing live?
When It's Over for Me.
Really?
It's a performance song. It's a real vocalist song. Mm-hmm. And it means something to me. It's, you know, about a relationship that kind of went bad, but we tried to keep it friendly, you know, hence the lyric, I hope you're with me when it's over. You know, that's really the essence of that song. And of course, Turn Me Loose, when the crowd goes crazy when we start that, it's got the big intro and everybody, you know, comes in at a certain time. Working for the Weekend, as soon as that cowbell hits, it's like a rocket ship, you know. So yeah, there's a lot of interesting and fun times. The Kid Who Saw Tonight is also one of my favorite songs.
Oh, wow, wow. Mike Reno's our guest of Loverboy, and the guys, are you on tour right now with Styx and REO Speedwagon, or?
It starts in the 31st of May.
May, okay.
In Grand Rapids, Michigan, and then June 1st, we're in Cleveland, and then we're in like St. Louis, then we're in Chicago. There's a list on our website. I just looked at it a few minutes ago. I mean, we got 80 shows in a row here. It's just gonna, as soon as March hits, we are going to be busy, busy people. We had shows even this weekend. We were supposed to be playing this Sunday up Ridgeview, Washington, and it got basically postponed because a bunch of the people involved with the whole thing got COVID. And you know what? It's still here. COVID is, you know, still here. It's still causing problems. I understand Adele just canceled her weekend in Las Vegas. So, you know, that was her opening week too. So she was upset. I mean, it's happening still. Hopefully the strain will come and go and everybody will be back to normal with maybe a flu shot every year. And then the fun can begin once again, Larry.
Mike, when you're doing a live concert, you've performed for many, many different size audiences on many different stages. Do you like the small intimate settings or do you like the festival settings? Which do you prefer to play for?
We have a lot of fun when it's a small intimate setting. And we've done them both, and we probably will continue doing them both. There's something about people being right there in front of you, you know, where you can almost touch them. And then there's also something about the fact that there's like 25,000 people out there and they're all getting into it at the same time. There's different energies, but they're both great. But I don't know, I think I like the intimate settings the best. We really get into it. We usually play some songs we don't normally play. We usually do a few extra songs at the end of the night. You know, the crowd is right there. It's kind of like we're all at the same party.
This is Border Crossings, and our guest is Mike Reno, who is right there up at the top with all of the music icons that, you know, have influenced all of today's music. I mean, Mike Reno is a great songwriter and a great singer and a modest guy, but nonetheless, the accomplishments, the achievements, the millions of records sold, the multi-platinum records, and all the accolades, well-deserved. One of my favorite rock bands growing up, certainly Loverboy. And we're so thrilled to have Mike on the show. And you mentioned one of your favorite songs is called When It's Over. So I'm going to go back to the beginning. Why did you decide rock and roll music was what you want to do? Most lead singers tell me the girls. Are you going to be honest or what?
I can tell you, at the beginning, I had the music in me. My brother was, he taught me everything that I know. He played guitar and I ended up buying a set of drums. And he was the lead singer and he would teach me all the background singing. So, and this is when I'm 11. So I've been doing it an awful long time. It was the love of the music. The Beatles kind of made me get into it. I also really liked the Rolling Stones. So I kind of had both sets, both sides of the spectrum. And later on when we started, you know, finished high school and started really getting serious about it, it was definitely the girls and you know, we were just hoping to earn enough money to buy a box of beer at the end of the day.
So, you know, I mean, with all the moments you've had, all the highlights, you've traveled the world, I'm sure there's probably not many places you haven't performed. What's been the highlight? You know, when you write your story, when you sit down to write the autobiography, what's going to be, you know, the highlight, the chapter that you really want standing out?
There's one story that is really an interesting story, and I could just see it's almost like a movie to me. We'd finished the first album, and we'd rounded up the girlfriends and said, let's go on one of those excursion trips to Mexico where everything's included, all inclusive. So you get the flight, you get the hotel room, you get the food, you get the drinks. So three of us in the band, Paul, Matthew, and I, we went on this trip with our girlfriends, and we weren't there 3 days when the phone rang in the lobby. Now, this is before cell phones, before email, you know, there was no portable anything. So somebody came down to the beach and said, Senor Reno, we have a phone call for you, you know, down in Mexico. And so you got to trudge back, you know, back to the office, take the call. And it's my manager, Bruce Allen. And he says to me, Reno, get the guys together, jump on a plane. I need you in LA tomorrow. Saturday, we're going to be doing American Bandstand with Dick Clark. And right then and there, honestly, Larry, I knew my life had just changed. Because at the time, if you made it on Dick Clark, you were destined for something good. And as it turned out, Dick Clark really loved this band. And he had us on a few other times. And so that started the saga, you know, of realness. You know, the records just started selling like hotcakes. Dick Clark had a lot to do with that. And I'll never forget that.
I also want to ask, Unfinished Business is the latest album 7 years ago. And so do you have any unfinished business? Is there anything, I hate to use the term bucket list because you're still a young guy, but is there anything that, you know, you feel that you haven't done that you still want to do?
Under the Tuscan sun, the lady it would be Italy. And she buys an old wrecked house and fixes it up. You know, this is something that I've always thought I'd love to do. You know, after all the craziness comes to a slowdown, I would love to do something like that. It's in my bones to do something like that. Have a vineyard set up, have a house in Italy or France or someplace like that, and fix the whole thing up and start a little something, you know, bring the friends out. You just open it up to the public. That's always been something that I'd look forward to doing.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Adele earlier. So are you into the music of today? I mean, what do you think of what's going on today? Because, there aren't many rock bands today like Loverboy, you know, and Aerosmith and all the bands you mentioned, Boston, REO. Those bands, that sound is gone from today's rock world. We don't have that kind of sound anymore. Definitely missing. So, I mean, when you listen to the radio today, you listen to today's music, what comes to your mind?
You know what? All music is great. You know, I actually listen to a lot of the old Tony Bennett style stuff. I mean, I just love all that stuff. Steely Dan's one of my favorite bands. Mm-hmm. I've got kind of a very eclectic love for music. I kind of love it all. It's just the fact that it gets you. I love jazz. I love... The scene nowadays is, I think, basically it's written for the people that are younger, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, I usually skip through those channels, and I usually go to the classic rock, or I go to something that's really kind of modern for the time in the 50s. I love the 50s music, 60s music, and that's just the way it is. The music's written for young people, by young people, and I think it should be enjoyed by all of them. And I did notice Adele's album, her new album, is very fantastic. It's really very, very good. And that would be one of the newer ones for me would have been her. I watched the show that they produced on TV, which I thought was that concert they did from Los Angeles, I thought was fantastic. Yeah. So, you know, there's all kinds of stuff out there. I happen to do one kind of music, and I love all the other ones.
If you could bring one album to a deserted island. Let's say you were going to be stuck on a deserted island. You've probably been asked this before. What would the album be that you'd bring with you to that deserted island? You only have one, and that's what you got.
Oh, Jesus, it's a toss-up between the Def Leppard and Asia from Steely Dan. See, I told you I was eclectic.
Yeah, yes, yes. Well, that's okay. That's good. That's healthy. So the tour's coming up, and I know you've got a lot of interviews to do today, and there's a new album coming out. Is there plans to go on an international tour? Because we are reaching, 100 countries right now. We're talking to millions of people in many different places. And I'm sure people in Asia and Europe and Africa would say, I want to see the band. What's on tap for the band in terms of international touring?
Well, the door's open. Live Nations has been taking care of us for the last few years. Our manager is kind of part of Live Nations. It's a wonderful setup they run. We got a wonderful offer to go to Australia, but 2 years ago, COVID shut the country down and the tour got canceled. We were really looking forward to that. We've got gold records and singles in Australia. Well, I'd like to go to Japan again. I've been to Korea as a band. We've been to Europe. We've never been to Africa, and we would love to go. So if anybody out there wants to bring us out, just get a hold of us and we'll be there for you.
Do you remember where you were the first time you heard Loverboy on the radio?
I do. I remember I was walking to I was walking to a used car dealership, and I said to myself, "I'm going to buy that car." And when I was standing waiting to do the crosswalk, the car pulled up, and my song, "The Kid Is Hot Tonight," came on the radio, and I was kind of saying, "Don't drive away, just in there," you know. And I heard it just through another car's window. And then he rolled his window down because it was a nice day. And I'll never forget that. That was insane.
We're talking with Mike Reno. Before we go, I just wanted to give you a chance to say hi to the worldwide audience. As I mentioned, there's millions of people tuned in. And there's also the troops who are listening. So if there's anything you want to say to those that are tuned in right now, radio and television, you know, that grew up listening to your music, that are finding your music for the first time now around the world, Mike Reno, lover boy, you know, we'd love to have, you know, you share a message.
Well, first of all, to all the service, military service men and women, thank you for your service. I think it's wonderful that you're helping the world out all the time, and we depend on you. So hang in there and enjoy the music. I'm hoping you're listening to me right now. Tell you what, the world is out there. It's a giant, beautiful place to be. I can't wait to come and see you all. Another thing I really wanted to do, Larry, on my bucket list was to visit Poland. My father was born in Poland. Oh. And I have a few friends that send me stuff all the time, and Poland looks like a wonderful place to visit. So I've got some fun things coming up in the future, and I hope I see you all out there somewhere.
Thank you, Mike Reno. Mike Reno, Loverboy, our guest, Unfinished Business, the latest album, releases the new track. And what would be your website where people could go check you out and find your tour schedule?
Loverboyband.com.
Loverboyband.com. All right. Thanks for tuning in. And thank you for watching. Thank you, Mike, for joining us. I'm Larry London. This is Border Crossings on VOA TV.